Go ahead and turn your Bibles back to Mark chapter 7. We're continuing, of course, our study of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And as you know, when you study the Gospels, you really can't say they're the life of Christ. They're selected events in the life of Christ. And the Gospel of Mark has a purpose in the Gospel in picking out particular events. Jesus declares He is the Messiah, and as He does the signs of the Messiah, He is met over and over by opposition. I have a handout for you in the back. That's the one that we've been handing out. It's the outline of the Gospel of Mark, and as we move into chapter 7, we know that He's now at what we call the full ministry of Christ. He's doing a lot of things, and of course, the more that He does, the more opposition there comes. This evening, Jesus is approached by religious leaders, by the religious leaders, scribes and Pharisees, and the issue is defilement. They charge Jesus Christ, they say to Jesus that your disciples aren't washing their hands properly. They're defiled. And we're going to see two things. One, we're going to talk about the issue of authority. What is the issue of authority? Is it scripture or is it tradition? And then we're going to look at the second thing, which is this defilement. Is it from without or from within? And we're going to talk about this whole subject of legalism, because that's the issue that we're going to see as we look at it. God's rules, man's rules. How does it all fit? How do we deal with these things? Well, we'll look at it. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for tonight and the opportunity just to praise Your name through those great songs. Thank You for the opportunity to study the Word of God and to see truths there. Lord, we thank You for Jesus, and we never want to take for granted who He is and what He's done and how is it our Savior, and that He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the servant of Jehovah, and the one who died for us and rose again and pays for our sin and does all of these things. Lord, we just want to love Him. And Lord, as we look at Your Word tonight, we want to see some things that are issues that sometimes come up in our lives, and we want to see how Jesus dealt with these things. Lord, we ask You that You would teach us and that we'd make application in our lives. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the letter of the law, what does that mean? Well, there was a man who rode a motorcycle, and I know him, and a law was passed in his state requiring that you have to wear a helmet. He didn't like the law. He said, you know, I'm not going to wear a helmet. Well, I'll do something. So when he got on his motorcycle, he strapped his helmet on his leg. And when he was stopped by a policeman, the policeman said, you don't have your helmet on. He says, the law says I must wear a helmet. It didn't say where I wear the helmet. I wear it on my leg. That's called the letter of the law. What comes in your mind when you hear the word legalism? In some places, I've seen in churches where legalism is that women can only wear dresses and not pants, and certain activities are considered wrong, and that legalism really is imposing your rules or standards not stated in the scripture on somebody else. That's what legalism is. Let me give you some illustrations. I had a friend that he used the New American Standard. That's the same thing I use. As you know, there's NIVs and New American Standards and the New Modern Translation, some, and then there's the King James and the New King James and all those different translations. I had a friend, he was speaking at a nursing home. It was a joint thing. He sat down to speak, and he realized there was another pastor from another church, and they had been called at the same time, and so they looked at each other, and my friend was a very gracious guy, and he said, well, why don't you, I'll talk for just a few minutes, and then why don't you get up and you finish out the service? And the guy said, I'll be glad to do that. And then he looked at my friend, and he said, you have a New American Standard Bible. And my friend said, well, yeah, I do. And he said, King James is the only Bible you can use. That's the only one that's really the Word of God. If you use your New American Standard, I will walk out of here. My friend was pretty wise, because he could have said, well, just walk on out. We don't care whether you're here or not, you know, if that's where you're going to be. But my friend said, you know, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll set mine over here, and when I get up to speak, how about if I use your King James, and then when you get ready, you can get your Bible back. What translation is the best? Does anybody really know? I mean, I have an idea of what I like the best and why I think that, but nobody can say this one's no good and this one's this and this one's this. What about dancing? I'm giving some tough issues tonight. What about, you know, some people say, you know, it's wrong to dance. Well, the question is dancing wrong, or is it certain type of dances? When David marched before the ark, when he brought it to Jerusalem, it says he danced before the ark, and the Hebrew word for dance there means to twirl. It means to spin. How about movies? Is it wrong to go to a movie? I've heard people say, you should never go to a movie. Movies are bad. Well, is it certain types of movies or just movies in general? Because it's been about 10 years ago, but I went with Campus Crusade to Mexico, and we used the Jesus film, a movie, to present the gospel. And there were thousands of people who loved watching. And as soon as Jesus came on that screen, you could hear everyone in that audience all sitting out go, Jesus, Jesus. So is it movies that are wrong, or is it certain types of movies? And who decides which movies? Who decides which dancing? Who decides which translation? I want you to think that there is God's Word that has commands on certain things right and wrong. There are gray areas, what I call gray areas, places that the Bible does not speak at all. And you can make personal decisions. And then there's what I like to call legalism, in which someone imposes their preference on other people. This evening, two ideas, two things stand out. One is authority, the other is defilement. We're going to talk about authority. Is God or is it man? God's Word or man's rules? We'll talk about that. Then we'll talk about defilement. Because is defilement from outside or defilement from inside? What defiles somebody? Well, let's begin. Now, as you get ready to begin, if you remember back in chapter 6, Jesus has done a lot of things. The ministry is exploding. He is healing people. He's feeding people. People are coming from all over. And his ministry's been in the northern part of Israel. As you remember, Capernaum was his headquarters. He grew up in Nazareth, basically. Born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, had to go down to Jerusalem to the southern part. But most of his ministry was in the northern part of Israel, all around the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum's right on the Sea of Galilee, and he's going back and forth and doing all kind of things. Well, he's done so much. The last thing we saw was he fed this big crowd, and then they went over to the land called Gennesaret, which was on the side of the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and people were coming. Well, you know, Jesus is doing a lot of things, and the religious leaders don't like it. They never have liked him. First of all, they said, you know, he wasn't trained. He hadn't been to the rabbinical schools. I mean, who is this man that all of a sudden these people are following him, and they're calling him rabbi, which means teacher, and all this stuff? And who is he anyway? And he's not been to our schools, and he's pretty suspect. We just don't know much about him, and we don't like him, first of all, because people are following him, and they're not following us. We talk and they don't care. He talks and they listen. So they're looking for something. You know, all the way through the Gospel of Mark, as the opposition keeps increasing, you're going to find that they're looking for anything they can find to trick him. If they can get Jesus, they think doing something wrong, they think they can discredit his ministry. So they found something. His disciples aren't washing their hands the way they're supposed to. Watch. The Pharisees, chapter 7, verse 1, the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem. Now, the religious leaders were in Jerusalem, southern part of the nation of Israel, and so now they've gone north up to where he is near the Sea of Galilee, and they've come with this issue. We got him. So they came up from Jerusalem to Galilee. They've gathered around Jesus. Now, the way it listen, it's a confrontation. They've gathered around him. This group of religious, smart men have gathered around. And they had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. Literally, the Greek says common hands, meaning just normal, unwashed. They hadn't followed their traditions. Now, what does it mean to have defiled? Well, when a Jew went out into the world, when a normal Jewish guy went out into the world, he came in contact with non-Jews, Gentiles. He might even go to the market and buy something from a Gentile. He might accidentally touch a Gentile. He might touch something that a Gentile touched. Well, you can't go out into this sinful world of the Gentiles and then come back to your place and be okay. So when you come back, tradition says we better wash our hands, and there's a certain way to wash them. You start up here and you wash this way, and then you wash down and you wash down. You get all the way down to the elbows. Water's got to drop off just right. Everything's got to be perfect. You know how we are with our rules, as they would say. And they say that some of these Jews, some of Jesus' disciples, aren't washing their hands right. Breaking the tradition. And then Mark wants to make sure that the readers, and some people think that Mark was written to some Romans or some Gentiles themselves, so he explains exactly what he's talking about, because they may not understand all the Jewish rules. It says, "See, for the Pharisees and all of the Jews," this is verse 3, "do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing," notice, "the traditions of the elders." It didn't say observing the word of God. This is tradition of elders, not the Bible. This is their rules. This is saying, if you're going to come to this church, you have to do this. That's a rule made up by people. They're saying, if you're going to be a Pharisee or a Jew, you've got to wash your hand just right, because this is our tradition. Thus, when they come from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they cleanse themselves. There are many other things which they received in order to observe, such as, you know, washing the cups and pitchers and copper pots. Everything had to be washed just right. You remember the wedding that Jesus went to in Cana of Galilee. And you remember there were six big water pots. They were really tall. There were six big water pots that he changed and turned that water to wine. What were those water pots for? You know what they were for? That's where they got the water to wash their hands when they came in to celebrate this wedding feast. So Mark explains it to us, says, just by the way, there's traditions of these Jewish people that they do all this stuff. And so they come to Jesus and they think, you know what? Your people aren't following our rules. That means you're wrong and we're right. The Pharisees and the scribes ask him, they're just point blank, you know, and they think they got him. And you know what's amazing to me? I love this because every time they think they got him, they say something to him, he says something back, and they're embarrassed. He blows them away all the time. And so they said to him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? Why are your disciples not following our tradition? Now, traditions aren't necessarily bad. Traditions here, the teaching of men, the rules and the rituals. Tradition in itself is not bad. It's good to have some traditions. Almost every year for about the last 10 or 11 years, we have a college retreat. That's sort of our tradition. We may or may not have it. It's not in the Bible or anything, but that's something we do. Or we have it like next Sunday night, we have a fellowship supper, and it's a welcome back to college students. And that's kind of one of our traditions. One of the traditions we have when we do the Lord's Supper at the very end, we all stand, and as our tradition is, we sing a cappella, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's a tradition. Now, if we didn't have it one time, we haven't violated Scripture. It's a tradition. They said to him, why are your disciples not walking according to the tradition of the elders, that you eat your bread with impure hands? Now, we're going to deal with two things. Number one, the source of authority. Is it the Bible or is it tradition? What's binding? What are people to obey? Scripture or tradition? And second, the issue is defilement here, because their people, he says, your people are defiled because they're eating their bread with impure hands. How is a person defiled? Inside or outside? Legalism, rules of men, all of these things. Well, what does Jesus say? Watch what he does. He never beats around the bush. He looks right at him, and he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written. He's about to quote Isaiah 29:13, but he calls them hypocrites. Now, nobody likes to be called a hypocrite, and people say, the church is full of hypocrites. A hypocrite literally meant to be under the mask. That's what the Greek word means. Hypocrite was an actor. The word under the mask, you've seen the mask when they do movie theaters, one smiling, one sad. When a person played a part, they held a mask up and they pretended to be something they weren't. They were under the mask. Hippocrates. So hypocrite is one who's under the mask, and so that's one who's pretending to be something they're not. So Jesus looks right at him and says, Isaiah prophesied about you hypocrites. Because you're saying you're holy and righteous, and you're not. They pretended to love God, but they didn't, because he quotes Isaiah 29:13. Notice what he says. This people, he's talking about them, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Now notice what he says. Your words, you say the right things, but you don't love me. See, Jesus can say that. Let me tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. You can't say that about somebody because you don't know. You don't know. You can look at a person and you can say, well, you're saying the right thing, but your heart is... You don't know what people's heart is. Now, Jesus does know. He knows everything. And he looks right at those people and says, you say the right things, but you don't love God. Not the way you should. Their heart is far away from me. And then he goes on and says, in vain they worship me. That means emptiness. Empty worship. Why? Because they teach as doctrines the precepts of men. Now the word doctrine means teaching or truth, and he's saying they're teaching things that are from men and not from God, and they hold to that the same as the Word of God. There are people who have certain traditions in their lives, certain legalistic rules that they hold to, that they hold on par with the Bible. Years and years ago, I've told this story before. Years and years ago, when we had the little building over there, and my office was over there where you first come in that middle door. I remember it was a Sunday night. It was about 5 o'clock. Church was going to start at 6. I was in there by myself, and this lady came in to see me, and she was I didn't know her. She just showed up, and she didn't go to our church, and she came in to talk to me, and she was troubled about some things. So we talked for about 30 minutes, and she said something. I said, look, why don't you stay for church? I said, there's more people are coming right now, and you can join the other 20 of us, and I'll ask her, you know, so just come. And she said, I can't. I'm already done wrong. I'm in this building and I have on pants, and it's a sin for a woman to have on pants, especially in a church building. I can't be here because I have pants on. I said, where did you get that? She wouldn't even stay, and I couldn't get her to stay in the building because she had been taught that a woman can't wear pants, especially in a church building. Teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Hand washing was a doctrine of men, not a doctrine of God. So he gives a little summary. He says, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. Let me tell you something. It's okay to have traditions. As long as you make as your authority in your life the scripture and you live by that, it's okay to have traditions and say, this is something we always do, we love to do it. But don't make it on par with the Bible, and don't say that if somebody doesn't do our tradition, they're wrong. The Bible is the authority, not the traditions of people. So he says, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to tradition of men. We always have to go back to the scripture. That's the bottom line. That is the key. People come and say, well, what a Baptist believer, what a Methodist believer, what do these people believe? That's not even the issue. Who could care? Who cares less what denominations hold to? What matters is the scripture. What does the Word of God have to say? That's the authority. That's the key. Look what he says. He's going to really get on to them because they've come with this tradition and they want to accuse his disciples of breaking their tradition. So he says, I'm going to tell you what. What's worse, breaking a tradition of men or breaking the Word of God? Watch what he says to them. He was also saying to them, verse 9, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. Now, that's a strong statement. He didn't say, every now and then you guys mess up and you go after traditions. He said, you are experts, professionals, at setting aside God's word and holding to tradition. Now, he's going to give a tradition that they held to, that they violated the scripture. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible, he's going to quote it, but the Bible says, honor your mother and father. And the Bible goes on in other places that says that as your children, you honor your mother and father. If a time comes where your father and mother have need, it is the responsibility. We see it even in the New Testament where children are helped take care of their parents if it ever comes to that. And sometimes in our society, people are living longer now, that sometimes children have to take care of parents and help them. Tradition was, though, here was a guy who said, my folks need my help. I've got my stuff. I don't want to give this stuff to them. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to declare this is called a korban. It's a Hebrew aspect. It means a gift to God. He said, I'm going to declare my stuff as a korban, as a gift to God. Therefore, since it's gift to God, it can't be given to my mother and father. Now, I get to keep and use it because it's a gift to God. And that way, I don't have to give it to my mother and father. That was a tradition that some of the Jewish people came up with, that if you wanted to keep your stuff, you call it a korban, a gift to God, and you don't have to share it with anybody else, even your mother and father. That's what they were doing. Watch what Jesus says to them. He says, Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever speaks evil of his father and mother is to be put to death. That's what the Mosaic law said. But you say, here's what you're doing. If a man says to his father and mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban. He says, my stuff that you need, whatever I have that might help you, I've declared it a korban. Notice in parenthesis, that is to say, given to God. You no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. He says, you've come to me and said, my guys don't wash their hands right. You say, we've broken your tradition. Well, let me tell you something. You're breaking the word of God with your tradition, because instead of helping your mother and father with what you have, by tradition, you call it a korban, that I'm giving it to God. That way, I don't have to give it to my mother and father or anybody else. I use it up. That's a pretty strong statement. He says, you've invalidated the word of God by your tradition. Be careful in our lives when we put our traditions above the Word of God. I mean, the only authority in our life is the Bible. I mean, there are a lot of things we may say, we like to do this, or we always do this, or we always do this, but we understand that's not on par with the Scripture. We cannot violate God's Word for our tradition. So where is our authority? Is it the Bible, or is it man-made rules? Now from there, he's going to keep going. He's pretty powerful because he's not going to let up. He then calls the crowd together because everybody knows what's going on. He calls the crowd together. He said, everybody over here, I got something to tell you. Of course, when Jesus called for people to come over, they came over. They went here, but he might feed them. Who knows? They never know. So let's go. Let's go see what he's going to do. And he's going to deal with this issue of defilement because they're making public that Jesus' people are defiled because they're not washing their hands right. Let me ask you this question. Biblically speaking, were they defiled by not washing their hands correctly? The Bible didn't say that. There's no passage back in the Leviticus or Exodus or Deuteronomy or any of that says you have to wash your hands in a certain way. There's nothing there. So watch what he does. Let me call the crowd together, he says. And he called the crowd to him again, and he begins saying to them, now listen to me, all of you, and understand. Listen carefully what I'm going to tell you. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defiles the man. He says, look, you're not defiled by what you touch or what you eat. See, they were saying that by not washing their hands and taking that bread and eating that bread, they have defiled themselves. He said, defilement doesn't come from without. Defilement comes from within. It's not what outside that defiles, but what comes from within. You know how we're defiled from within? Because we're fallen. What's the heart? Jeremiah says the heart is what? Wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? Paul says, in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Defilement doesn't come from without. Defilement comes from within. We saw this morning in church when we were talking about the fact that there's the flesh and the spirit. The fact that we can either yield to the flesh or we can yield to God and His righteousness or we can yield to the flesh and sin. The flesh is what defiles us. There is a part of us on the inside that is wicked, that is beyond what you could comprehend. And let me just tell you something. We've talked about this before. I've talked about it with my Wednesday morning, Thursday morning guys. We talked about this. If you think that there are sins that you will not do, you're fooling yourself. You're capable of any sin. You put you in the wrong place at the wrong time, you will do the wrong thing. Every one of us in this room are capable of any sin. So be careful if you say, I don't think I'd ever do that. You just don't know how wicked you are. We're all wicked. We're defiled from the inside out, not the outside in. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, listen, he says, nothing outside the man which goes in him can defile him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defiles him. And then notice verse 16, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And remember, that always bothers, you know, sometimes people say, well, everybody has ears to hear. No. That is a statement in Hebrew that Jesus used a lot that he meant, if you're listening carefully, listen to what I got to say. Because most people, a lot of people weren't listening. When he says, if you have ears to hear, let him hear, that the ears to hear, the people who are listening and saying, what is he saying? I want to understand this. There were a lot of people who heard what Jesus said. They weren't listening to him. They rejected him already. That's one reason we saw back earlier in chapters 5 and 6 that Jesus spoke in parables. So that those people who believed in him would understand, and the people who weren't believing in him didn't understand. He says, if anyone has ears, let him to hear. And now, when they leave, and you can see Jesus walking them off, and the religious leaders are going, boy, that didn't go very well. Yeah, it didn't. Yeah. Whose idea was it to go ask him that question anyway? I don't know. Because he looked bad. They all looked bad. Because they thought they had him. You're breaking our traditions. He says, you're breaking the Word of God with your traditions. Well, the guys didn't actually grasp it as we might if we were there. Sometimes we look at the disciples and we say, those guys, what's wrong with them? Let me tell you, if we were there with them, we'd be looking around going, what do you say? What are you talking about? I don't get it. When he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. They said, what is going on? We didn't get it. Help us to understand it. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Come on, guys, y'all got to get this, he says. Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from the outside cannot defile him? Listen, outside things don't defile us. A man is not sinful from the outside in. He's sinful from the inside out. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We come into this world with a natural bent to sin. We sin because we're a sinner. So look what he says. He says, don't you guys understand? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from the outside cannot defile him? Well, why? Because it does not go into his heart, doesn't go into his inner being. It goes into his stomach and what? It's eliminated. It just passes through. That, thus, he declared all foods clean. I know people today who get so hung up on what we ought to eat. I don't think you can eat shrimp. I think the Mosaic Law says you cannot eat shrimp. And I said, who says we're under the Mosaic Law? Never have been. I like shrimp. Right? There are people out there saying, here are certain foods you should not eat because the Bible says it. The Bible doesn't say anything. In fact, this passage says Jesus declared all food clean. You can eat what you want to. There are certain things not as healthy for you as others, but there's no laws that you're under that tells you what foods you can eat and can't eat. Thus, he declared all foods clean. And then he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that which is defiled him. See, coming from the inside is where we're defiled. And now he's going to say some things that really are hard. Look what he says. From within, out of the heart of men, the heart is evil and deceitful and wicked. Paul says, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Defilement is from within, not without. Look what he says. From within, out of the heart of men, is there evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deed of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Now, that's a pretty big list. And that's not even all of it. You go over there in 2 Corinthians, and there's a much longer list. And you go into Galatians, there's a much longer list. He says, out of the hearts of men, there are evil thoughts. You ever thought something evil? Anybody thought something evil? I have. Where'd that come from? It sure didn't come from the new creation in Christ. And it sure didn't come from the Holy Spirit. Where does it come from? It comes from your heart. It comes from your flesh, the evil part of us, the part that is wicked. Evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries. You know, I was reading in the paper the other day something about a guy killed two people. Young guy, 18 years old, shot and killed two people. And he was robbing them, and he shot and killed them. And my thought says, man, can you imagine killing somebody in their whole life? I mean, that comes from people. That's sinfulness comes out. And be careful, because you might say, oh, well, I'm not going to do these evil thoughts, fornications. I'm not going to steal anything. I would not murder anybody. I would not commit adultery. I would not coveting. Well, I guess I could do wickedness, deceit. Let me tell you, you're capable of every one of them. Take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. The moment you say, I am not capable of doing that, when you open the door to fall. Every one of us in this room must say, look, I know what I'm like on the inside. Thanks be to God who has made me a new person in Christ, and I have the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm a new person, and I don't have to listen to that flesh, that part that pulls me. From within the heart, there's evil thoughts and fornications and thefts and murders and adulteries and coveting and wickedness and deceit and sensuality and envy. Ooh, envy. Slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Defilement is from within, not without. That's why salvation is always from the inside out, not the outside in. Historically, people have always tried to make things happen from the outside in. And so we clean up our life, and we put ourselves under a law system, and we keep a bunch of rules, and we wash our hands the right way, and we do all the things we think somehow is going to earn pleasure with God. And what we're trying to do is clean up the outside. You can't be cleaned up from the outside in. It won't work. It's only possible to be clean from the inside out. And that's why when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, he said, we're a new creation from the inside out. That's how we're changed. And that's why salvation is always from the inside out, being a new creation in Christ. Religion always deals with the outside. Christianity, true Christianity, always deals with the inside. That's why the issue when we talk to people is not getting their act together, not cleaning up their outside, because it does no good to clean up the outside, because cleaning up the outside can't deal with the inside. We're defiled from within out, not without in. That's why only Jesus can change us from the inside out. What have we seen? And we'll open up for some questions in just a second. What have we seen? We've seen the authority. Is the authority scripture or tradition? Religious leaders were putting tradition above the Word of God. Defilement, is it inside or outside? Religion deals with the outside. Jesus Christ deals with the inside. Let me give you a couple of applications here. The first question is, where is your authority? Where do you go for the rights and the wrongs? Where do you go? Is it the Word of God or is it the rules of men? We must always obey the Word of God. It is the basis for our lives. Be careful about man-made rules and legalism. I have seen people in bondage to things that aren't biblical, and it breaks my heart. The Word always is the key. Whenever there is a great, always go back to the Word of God. Whatever the Word says, that's the key. Second, when there are gray issues, when there are things that the Bible doesn't speak about, you decide what you do. And the third thing is, don't put your rules on somebody else. Not if it's not biblical. If it's not biblical, you decide. I always use this example. I say, I have decided that as a pastor, on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday night, I'm going to wear a coat and tie. I do that. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to do it. Now, legalism would say all the men that come to this church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, they ought to have on coats and ties. That's legalism. You can't find anything in the scripture that says anything about what people wear. So be careful when we take our rules and we add them to somebody else, because that's what legalism really is. Freedom. We have great freedom. Now, we're going to see this a little bit further on in the book of Romans. But there is this aspect of freedom, but don't use your freedom to cause others hurt. So that's some things there. The Word of God always, you have great freedom to decide what you want to do. Don't put your rules on somebody else. Second, salvation is a change on the inside, not the outside. Now, Lord willing, that when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior and you're changed from the inside out, and how you live on the outside is different than it was. But it's not because your rules and legalism, it's because God changed you from the inside out, not from the outside in. Defilement is never outward but inward. Salvation has to be inward. Religion, the rules, the regulations can't change the inside. Jesus Christ, salvation by faith, is where you're changed from the inside out. We want to tell people that in Jesus Christ and in Him alone is salvation, and it comes by faith, and that you are changed from the inside out. Boy, it's so perfect. May we have as our authority the Word of God as we proclaim the message of salvation found in Jesus Christ, which changes people from the inside out. Let's pray. We'll open up for any questions. Heavenly Father, thank you as we think about the life of Jesus in this passage and these religious leaders coming to Him and all these things about traditions and rules. Lord, may we think about our authority. Where is it? It is the Word of God. God, thank you, Lord, that you have given us in written form your revelation, your truths that we can know and apply and how we live. Lord, we know that there are many decisions that we make that you don't speak about in the Word of God, and we have great freedom. But Lord, may we be careful in our freedom not to take our rules and try to impose them on somebody else, but only live our lives by the scripture in that way. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we realize that you are a God who changes us, that religion seeks to change us outside in, but you change us from the inside out. Thank you, Lord, that being in Christ, we're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Thank you, Lord, for changing us. And Lord, I pray that as we have been changed on the inside, that we will work out our own salvation, Lord, knowing that we will work out from the inside to the outside what we are like in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.